Let's read together Exodus 31. In this chapter, we have God's appointment of the skilled craftsmen for the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishings, and also the designation of the Sabbath as the sign of the Mosaic covenant. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 11. Exodus 31, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called you by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. In Exodus chapters 25 through 30, we saw God's instructions for the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishings. Now here in Exodus chapter 31, God appoints the craftsmen and artisans who are to do the construction work. Bezalel from the tribe of Judah and Aholiab from the tribe of Dan were skilled craftsmen and apparently put in charge of a number of other skilled artisans that would be involved in the work. In these chapters, chapters 25 through 30, we saw some of the elaborate and detailed instructions for the designs and engravings that God gave for the tabernacle and its furnishings. Notice that Moses did not tell the Lord that these instructions were too complicated and too hard to carry out. God always provides the needed help to do what he calls his people to do. God called for artistic designs and elaborate engravings, and so he provided the craftsmen and artisans to do the job. The same is true today. Whatever God commands you to do or not to do in his word, he enables you to do or not to do in obedience to his word. Now, this does not mean it'll be easy and automatic, but you can never say you had to fail because the Lord did not enable you to obey. Nobody can say that. And the same is true concerning whatever ministry or service the Lord calls you to. He will provide the needed ability and skill and people and funds to do the job. Notice I added, and funds to do the job. Just make sure you're following the Lord's call and not your own call or someone else's call who may have some hidden agenda for you. Now, one more background note before we go to our doctrinal points. Verse 18. And when God had made an end of speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Moses wrote down all the details of the Mosaic covenant that we have here in Exodus through Deuteronomy, but the Ten Commandments themselves were uniquely written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. Now, this phrase, the finger of God, is anthropomorphic language. Anthropomorphic, that is, human-like language ascribed to God. God does not literally have a body with hands and fingers, but God can take on the appearance of a body. This is called a theophany. And in this way, apparently, the finger of God inscribed the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. Or it's possible that the term finger of God is just figurative language for the inscribed letters as they appeared one by one on the tablets of stone. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Exodus 31. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the sign of the Spirit's filling was special skill. The sign of the Spirit's filling was special skill. We read here in verse 3 that Bezalel was a Spirit-filled man. He was filled with the Spirit of God. Look there at verse 3 once again. God said, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship or craftsmanship." So Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God. In what way was this filling of the Spirit manifested? Did Bezalel speak in tongues? No. Did Bezalel exhibit some kind of dramatic or ecstatic gift? No. Verse 3 says that he is filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of craftsmanship. The proof that Bezalel was Spirit-filled was not some charismatic display, as in today's use of the term. No, it was his God-given and God-empowered craftsmanship. So Christians today who say that there must be some kind of charismatic proof that a person is Spirit-filled need to read Exodus chapter 31. The sign of the Spirit's filling here was special skill. God not only gave Bezalel and Aholiab and the other artisans certain natural talents at birth that were developed into skills, but God also empowered these skills by his Holy Spirit. Thus, the ideas for the creative artistic designs and the know-how for making these creative ideas a reality was all of God. The same is true today. God gives different natural talents to different individuals, and when these individuals dedicate their developed skills to the Lord, the Holy Spirit can empower these natural skills so that the creative ideas or artistic designs or expert carpentry or accomplished instrumental music or composed hymns and songs of praise or artwork or needlework or books for teaching or talks for edification are all from God. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. When you dedicate your natural talents and skills to the Lord and let these God-given abilities be under his control, then the Holy Spirit can empower these abilities, and the results give evidence that you are filled with the Spirit. Now, a word needs to be said here about spiritual gifts. You are born with natural talents, which can be developed into skills and dedicated to the Lord. You are given spiritual gifts when you become a believer. These too must be developed and put under the Lord's control. Many times a Christian may have a dedicated natural talent, let's say teaching, for example, that the Lord has taken and superimposed on it the spiritual gift of teaching. In any case, dedicated and developed natural talents and spiritual gifts that have been developed so that God is using and blessing these skills is evidence of a Spirit-filled life and ministry. So this doctrinal point is not just for Bezalel of the Old Testament. It has application for today. The sign of the Spirit's filling was special skill. Doctrinal point number 2. The sign of the Mosaic Covenant was the Sabbath. The sign of the Mosaic Covenant was the Sabbath. Verses 12 through 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." God instituted the Sabbath as a sign of the covenant that made Israel a theocracy, a people governed directly by God. The sign of the Noahic covenant was the rainbow. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. And now the sign of the Mosaic covenant, or the law, is the Sabbath. God rested on the Sabbath day after his 6 days' work of creation. Now, because Israel was in a covenant relationship with God, They were to do as God had done, rest on the Sabbath day. Observing the Sabbath marked Israel out as God's people. They were God's holy people, that is, set apart for God. Therefore, the Sabbath was holy, verse 14, and was not to be broken. To work on the Sabbath was to profane the Sabbath and resulted in death, verses 14 and 15. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. We have an example of a Sabbath breaker in Numbers chapter 15. I'm reading Numbers chapter 15, beginning at verse 32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. So breaking the Sabbath was serious business. And thus keeping the Sabbath was a test of Israel's obedience in their covenant relationship with God. The sign of the Mosaic covenant was the Sabbath. What about practical application from Exodus 31? Don't make Sunday the new Sabbath. Don't make Sunday the new Sabbath. Many Christians with pure motives and good intentions take the Sabbath laws of the Old Testament and apply them to Sunday today. This is really bad hermeneutics, that is, bad principles of interpretation. The Christian Sunday is not the Sabbath, nor is it some kind of new Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday, and Sunday is Sunday. The sign of the Sabbath was part of the Mosaic Law, which was a covenant between God and Israel, not between God and the church. We are no longer under the law, Romans 10:4. And the church is not the new Israel. The church is the body and bride of Christ. Now, Sunday is a special day for Christians because it's the Lord's Day. It's the day our Lord arose from the dead. It's the day our Lord arose in resurrection from the dead. But Sunday is not the Sabbath. We may choose to honor the Lord by not working on Sunday and being determined to get to church and worship the Lord on Sunday and serve the Lord in some special way on Sunday. But let's not be legalistic about it and make Sunday the Sabbath. Sunday is the Lord's day, not the Sabbath. Don't make Sunday the new Sabbath.